CRS Radio Caribbean Radio Show, and on the mic, as usual, around this time, Dr. L taking the mic. We're going to be continuing with this intriguing topic. Getting so much of you responding. I wonder what's going on here. Wow, when it comes on to relationships and the little let's call it hanky-panky stuff. Is that in what you call the intrigue? Maybe this is why a lot of relationships go through that, because there's something that is intriguing about sneaking. Sneaky. And so sneaky is intriguing. the vicariousness, you know, just throwing caution to the wind, maybe for a while, maybe sometime for a long time. Maybe it's just the heart's desire. All right, we have been doing these series for a while now, and you're asking for more, and there's so much more of this topic. There's so much side, although on one hand it is really very, very serious psychologically for some folks, and we try to understand why we do certain things. We try to rationalize, and those who are involved, sometimes we simply don't know why we gravitate to certain persons, why certain persons just fills our heart, our soul, or our desire a little more than others, even though we know sometimes we are committed elsewhere. We know that. But there is something that quite a few people, especially men, and please, men, allow me to go off, well, go off on a tangent or really take you into view. There is something probably in men that may be stronger than women, or the whole cultural norm. Women are a little bit more easier to adjust because this is taught to us from we are yang. Our parents telling us this person on this white horse, depends on who you are. I don't know why it's never a black horse. White horse is going to come and sweep the woman away. A woman is usually given away. That's the thing I don't like, which we'll come back and do another show on that. Who gives this woman away? Oh my gosh, just saying that alone just kind of bleeds my heart. Because here is the conduit of life, I call her. And I think we should be pronating to all women. Because without her, she has the ultimate power. And then this begin to get in a conversation, which is not for this show. The man says, well, if I didn't put a seed in her, she wouldn't have a baby. Yeah, probably right. But if she didn't choose to carry through her divine function, then there would be no baby here at all, even. And then I don't know if we can do the asexual thing. I'm not sure. Probably we are woman, mean woman, a womb and a man too. I don't know if we want to cut it out like that. But seriously. We are, I think sometimes, and this show is not to advocate anything. I'm just doing a real chat here. So don't be out there criticizing and judging me, because I know it is the simplest thing for a lot of people to do. We need to really seriously talk about these situations because it causes life and limb and psychological torture. So either something is wrong with the way how we view human being and their sexuality and so-called quote-unquote faithfulness, or culturally what we instill in the society that is not normal. No, I'm not saying is not normal. I am saying probably which is not normal, because I'm not professing here. I'm not a therapist. I'm not professing here to know how human in general is made up to react to stimulus. And most time is a physical stimulus that starts out with that you see somebody, say a man seeing a woman with a certain kind of silhouette, and all of a sudden his entire soul and mind and body start to react. And he probably have no idea. And certainly, because a lot of it is involuntary, no control until whatever about that has passed, you know? So I think we really seriously need to look at how the human body, monogamy, is that natural? And I know this is a topic that is being, just out there. Beaten up left, right, and center, blah, blah, blah. Civilized people, doing thing, and people who think religion and all of that. But take a look at this. Religion or an oath or some kind of binding document is forcing upon you to abide by these rules. And if that is so, then probably that is not normal. If you have to take an oath before God and men and you, which your family and all of those good people, bring them together, feed them and dance and all of that good thing. to let them know, hey, you're taking this on, because I guess more or less you're kind of established in your territory by signing off document. I hone you, you hone me, because hence we start talking about my husband, my wife, my this, my house, my. And if you hear the words, and words are powerful. Hear the words, my this. It's never John. John comes home. So I guess you want to say, who is John? Hey, well, even those people who know who John is, that John is your husband, most people never say their name. My husband, my territory, my car. My car is never the car, the house, although is both of you house. Somebody who is always saying, my. I think we need to take a look at that. Is there some relevance to how we treat our relationship? My husband, so I go through. Well, welcome back. I think with all the weather pattern going on, we're a little bit affected by that. Just had our engineer try to quickly work and getting us back in here. Thank you, guys. Well, let's get back to the topic at hand. Like I was saying before we got interrupted, we need to take a real look at what is working, what is not working, why we're in the dilemma we're in, why relationships are in the dilemma they're in, why so many people are losing their lives, why so many who, even when you get out of some marriages, you are, the beating that it takes. People who are living in marriages now that find it so difficult to get out of, the psychological torture that we endure. And women, I think, have find ways to make it livable, living in prison, men too, don't get me wrong, and just trying to find a way every single day to escape it. Notwithstanding that, though, there's some very, very successful relationships. But I think that this is just me thinking. I'm thinking, based on some of the statistics I've looked at, that marriages really don't work. Not in the state, not under the condition and the criteria. I think we're doing well with the situation at hand. We're doing well. We're trying to cope as much as possible. But some of us don't fare that well, and is a burden on us for the rest of our life. Unfortunately, our society kind of so-called requires, after you reach a certain age, you are almost required, or you're looked down on, staying if you're not married, if you don't have children, that kind of a thing. Of course, with the children thing, I think everybody should have a million and one child. That's not reckless talking there. That's what I think. Although I don't have a million and one, I should. I wish I could. But nevertheless, I think we really should take a serious look at relationship, in particular those that are bonded by oaths and licensures, which I think is worse bondage. Which I think is worse bondage. So call me if you want to chat, if you want to be a guest, if you want to hear, I want to hear your side of the story. 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Shut me up in the inbox. And we're on social media, crsradio.com group page. About 9,000 of you are hanging there with me. CRS Radio, still on Facebook, although on Facebook. And Everett also on my personal page. You can hit me up and, you know, we can do a little chatting. 661-467-2407. We're talking about the other woman. So much has been said about her, some very colorful language. But as most of these shows go back, and I'm always getting back to the point, is she responsible for your husband's action? Is she really responsible, even if she knows you're married or he's married? Oftentimes they don't. Should she be your husband's moral compass? She wasn't there when he signed away his life to be faithful to love and trust and death part and all of those litany of commitment. She was not there most of the time, 99% of the time. Well, sometimes it's a friend of the person who is doing all of these things too. I understand. That's a little bit, a little cheeky too. But again, person who is involved have the total responsibility, I think, to know that they're married, to know that they're committed to this person, to know they take a oath I mean, they lay on the same pillow. They have their responsibility. There is no way that somebody cannot remember that they have a responsibility. Now, if you borrow money from the bank, say, and I'm a family member, probably an uncle and an aunt, and so am I responsible for that money you borrow from the bank too? Or is your responsibility to remember you walk in the bank, you sign the paper, you wrote in that what you're going to do. Your responsibility is to pay this every month, blah, 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 until X balance is completed, free and clear. Now, the same situation, you alone and your wife or whoever this person is decide you're going to be together for the rest of your life to be true and faithful to only this person, to honor them, to do all of those things. And I'm not going to only just say this in word. I am putting it in writing that the government gets involved. They give you a license. You even go as far as to change your name. Your name, your identity has been altered, and you, well, I would suppose that everything you do now is together, and we don't know how much you're together when you start getting a divorce, that somebody leaves somebody out of a will who you've been living with and all the anky-panky, and we see that playing out now with, you know, some every day, or some smart folks, the wealthy ones, they have prenuptial stuff and say, hey, if you leave me, you're not getting nothing. Or if you leave me, you're only getting this. Or if you come into this marriage, everything I have previous to the marriage, you're not entitled to none of it. So when you look at all of these things and say, this is not total thing. We have some reservations in this relationship. Although we are saying that there was part and all of those stuff for those people who say that, we still have a reservation that this might not work. So I'm going to put my little bundle one side just in case. Come on, guys. We need to look at this differently. We really, really need to look at this differently. It is about time. Life is a dynamic living, liberty. And our needs changes as we evolve. And I think this is one of the things. Well, there's some involvement to it with the marriage thing. We no longer, some people no longer say the vow, I will obey you. Oh my gosh, don't even talk about that one. I will obey you and all of those crap. I mean, a woman is going to obey. Well, I know what you're thinking. Please, don't just think by yourself. Give me a call, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Hit me up in the chat box as well, and I will be able to chat up with you. Chat up with you over in Facebook. Over in Facebook, I want to say big up to Mr. Ian Sweetness, chatting me out here in the box. And those of you who are over there in the chat area as well, I'm going to be opening up this chat box right where I am. So you'll be able to interact here as well. 661-467-2407. Hey, coming up later on this week is some big headlines coming up, so just make sure you stay tuned for that. Okay, let's take a little bit closer look at the topic that we're talking about. Your husband, how do you get rid of the other woman? Oh, just saying that makes me kind of not happy. How do you get rid of the other woman in your husband's life? How do you get rid of the other woman? First of all, that should not be your responsibility. Yeah, I kind of get an emotion. I know. Emotional, I know. It's not your responsibility as a wife. You know, that's not your responsibility to get rid of somebody. Your husband or your wife chooses to be with, because that person, for whatever length of time, taking care of a desire that he is not getting at home. Whether or not this is this is warranted or unfounded is a whole different thing. But why did your man go out there to do what he do? Are you as a woman, let's talk on the from a woman's point of view, towards a man. I'm a little bit skewed over there. Most of these shows are. And I think why I do it that way is just to kind of wake up women and say, you're empowered to do a lot more. I am thinking that you're not into the kind of a slave or control where you have no power in this. Most women nowadays, they have an education, and that was part of the control. You have education. You can buy your own car, shoes, and dress. You don't have to depend on somebody to do that. So that makes it, and even in those cases, it makes it a little bit more difficult for the control thing. It's a different kind of control and manipulation when the woman is able to maintain herself financially and is not depending, you know. The arrangement is a little bit different. The problems are a little bit different. The way how she gets treated is a little bit different, because she's more empowered. She has a much more voice. Now, when you don't have an education, you have all five children, you don't have much where to go. I mean, family is not able to take you in, and your five children, they're struggling too. So when he does what he do, including having another partner sometime, you have to sit down and sulk and take it, because it's either take it or leave it. And that wasn't in the original contract. You see, we're talking about the contract here. I'm not saying what is right or what is wrong. I'm just talking about what's in the contract, what your contract will be. Unfortunately, you sign a carte blanche contract that does not stipulate, itemize exactly what your role and responsibility is in a marriage. Because I would say that, hey, one, I need sex 15 times a day. Boom. I need my clothes washed. I need my socks to be molded. I need my bed to be made. I need my bath water. I need my toenails to be clipped. I need my hair. I need my nose hair to be whatever. And these are things that people do and ask for after the marriage that is not in a contractual form. Now, this person did not know that she had to make the bed in a certain kind of way, because during the height of the romance and the fire, all of that, you know, and the informal setting, maybe her house, a hotel or somewhere, a lot of things did not come into play. So now that we're living in the same abode, we're sharing a smaller place, maybe. This place is permanently uncomfortable, possibly. The bathroom is always up because he's always there. He throws his clothes here. He watches TV, sticks his foot here. Maybe that's something that bothers you. You have to clean up after. All of this wasn't a problem. And you see, sometimes when you're in this thing called emotional, detrimental thing called emotional psychosis, love, it makes you overlook or cannot see a lot of the pitfall in relationships. Yes, folks, I just said that. We're not able to see. I mean, who has ever been in love and you don't even see the hair coming out of the nose or whatever? But when you do get married, all of that starts to show up. Where were you looking before? When you're in love, everything is just, you are just taken away into another place. I don't care who you are. And this is why I think that finding a relationship, getting involved in a relationship, should not be the parties who are going to be involved in the relationship. Mean that somebody like your parents, somebody sober, of sound mind, should try and choose a partner. I do really and truly believe that. Not as a hard and fast like, you know, in the Indian culture where you never see the person before and blah, blah, blah. And even you are supposed to work yourself into honoring. And I don't use the word love because that has no place in my brain. I would like to hit that as far away as possible if I can, because it's so irrational. So honor and respect and all of that don't come into a lot of people's mind. We don't talk those words. And that is really what we should do. If you honor and respect and adore somebody, and don't tell me those are love, somewhere along the line, probably part of it, I don't know. But this is where, how I would like to put it, because I think those are more achievable and more powerful in terms of for our life situation. So said, we, and I'm very off topic of the main topic that I have to do, but every time I talk about this topic, I kind of go there to come back to exactly where we are and how I think relationship are so flawed. When I start thinking about that, it really kind of get me into that place where you're flawed. And just like religion, some of us will never ever listen to the reality. We don't want to question. We are so, it's so ingrained in us that we don't even question certain things. You don't have to get married to have a child. As far as I'm concerned, some of the greatest people are so-called raised in single, totally single family. Of course, it does help for you to have the emotional support with somebody else around you. And that person don't have to be a man. It could be your grandmother. It could be your mother, your sister, your brother. Some wholesome relationship. Because if you have a man who is a child's father and that relationship is not going good, and if he's there, that is just one of the living torturous hell that you will go through. Yeah. Would you agree? I'm sure you would. Well, I'm going to agree for you that it's definitely not the best thing. So, hey, how do you get rid of the woman in your husband's life? A lot of women, again, saying, my husband, they will meet you out on the street. Leave my husband alone. Leave my this. Don't break up my marriage. And how low down that is. I just find that just really rude, ugly, and nasty. And how far can you as a woman bring yourself to attack another woman who possibly do not know, or the liar of a man that you have as a husband fighting a war for him? And of course, sometimes if he has another affair with somebody else, maybe it's not one, it's two, so probably it's three and four, and maybe this is a continuous cycle. So you have to be there every single time when you do find out, to be going in the street, calling up somebody, searching his phone or searching his car, finding something, accosting him about it, and go start your war. What kind of a life is that? What kind of a life is that? Why would you be fighting another woman for your lousy man? Yes, I say that. Who do not know he's married to you? Kind of a really, really kind of messed up to me. Why would you want to do such a thing? Why? Why would you bring yourself to such low to go and fight or argue with another woman in the street? My man, my husband, if he was so much such as your husband, your man, you wouldn't even have to be doing that. So what happened? Now, talk to me a little bit. So this lame man of yours that you're fighting for is so lamed up in his brains and his head that this woman just look at your man, supposed to be a man, and just say a couple of words to him, which is certainly not how it goes, and drag him out of his little nest or his little cage. Use a carrot and a stick and draw him out, tongue all lengthy and drooling at your carrot. And he forgets that he's married, and he forgets that he has a responsibility. And this poor little half-dead soul, yeah, I said that, because that's what you're painting him as. He has no mind of his own. He cannot make decision. He doesn't know up or down. So you, Miss Jezebel, I'm sorry to say that, but in this instance, the Bible tells you so that you're Jezebel, and most of you are Bible people. and I'm not throwing any dagger at anybody. I am just talking the plain truth. Your drooling, whatever husband, cannot keep his emotion together, and his mind is so warped. Well, don't seem like he has any mind of his own. He don't have any muscles. He don't have any balls. So you have to be fighting for the poor thing, because somebody who is strong and powerful and has the wherewithal, draw your little doggy out of the cage and lure him over on the other side. And he had no say in that. He could not stop it. So you have to go out now and fight the hell to get him back. Come on. Come on. Come on. Does that sound like a woman to you who should be raising children? That's what you do? No, I don't think so. Should that be the man that impregnates you and is going to bring boys? And that's what he's going to teach them? That, hey, you don't have any balls to stand up for what you say you're going to do. That's what you're going to be treated, because the way he's going to see how you both behave in the house, you are teaching him that. So, ladies, if your ballless man cannot keep his emotion intact, cannot remember that he's committed to you, and you have any strength in you, And if this is how you look at life, then what does it say about you? It's not even about him now. What it says about you, your choice for your life, what it says about your choice, your making choice for your life and your offsprings. Nada, nilch. You can't make a choice. You have made the worst choice in the world under the circle. And you know what, ladies? A lot of you did get that man because he was cheating on somebody and you pick him up and you can't expect that he's going to stop because he has a hold and a license. This is his MO. So why are you going to denigrate yourself to reach to that low, low, low that you're going to meet a woman who you claim to be the paramour or whatever you want to call her, or the home wrecker, that you're going to go and grab up in the street and cuss her and to the ends north and south and feel like you're empowered. And then you go home to that loser man. And I don't like to use his word, but it just to kind of bring over this, because this is what this conversation is. Somebody is going to go out in the street and really cuss and beat up and say ugly things to somebody. That's exactly what that is in essence. So I'm thinking, and at some point or another, I don't care who you are, there's very few relationships into this universe, I think, although this is an informal research, just by chatting and really living life for a while, that no matter who you are, at some point in time, whether physically, spiritually, psychologically, and some people don't look at those other things, you're going to get so-called, I don't like to use the word either, cheated on. Somebody is going to look out for to satisfy their feeling or emotion at some point or the other, and it does not include you, a wife or a husband. It includes somebody else. Some point or the other, it is going to happen. You may not know about it, and you may know about it, but I think that's life. How do we cope with that? When you find your husband needs, let's put it this way. Your husband goes out. The only reason, let's put it that way, is because his need is not met at home. How do you take care of that? If there's another woman involved, and you need to get back your husband in focus. I mean, how do you do it? You don't go out in the street and disgrace yourself and your family, because there is no power in that, I think. What you do, I think, you sit down with your husband, your cheating husband, I don't call it cheating. Your husband that is not fulfilled. You are not fulfilling him. You ask him, dearest, am I not taking care of the needs that you're seeking outside of this marriage? Remember, we said we're to hold and to behold and to love and to all of those good things. I don't know what that thing is. But since you're having seen somebody else, it means something is wrong. What am I not providing you with? All right, first of all, I say, hey, what is your need? What is your need? What is it that relationship or that person provides you with? Period. Then you says, what part do I have in not meeting those obligations? Not meeting them. What part do I have in that? Well, your hair is always not in time. I mean, I just love this lady hair. As Beyonce must have said, good hair or whatever. Somehow hair is really important around here. All right. You're always in roller in your hair. Your hair is gray, and I don't like gray. It reminds me that I'm getting old and decrepit, and you're not painting colors in your hair or something like that. Maybe sometimes it's just some weird old thing. Or she may say, hey, before we were married, you usually do some acrobatic things, and sex was fun and exciting, and that's what drew me to you. Now, I mean, it's always headache. It's always coming to see you in the same house dress, and no negligee, no excitement. It's always, hey, you're home, and I mean, you're with the children, or you're out, or whatever, whatever. The luster of the life and the grandeur of all of these beautiful things is gone. And this is what makes me happy. And it is not here. So therefore, husband speaking, without your knowledge, I so happen to meet something that excites me. I did not want to bring this to your attention because I don't know how to, fearing that this would upset you and make you feel inadequate. And to be honest, I kind of like how you treat the children. I kind of like the stability that when I come home, I have dinner and my clothes is washed, just that I cannot take the house dress and your hair not done and you're not put together. So I'm thinking that it won't be harmful, this is husband speaking, if I go out there and just get my little whistles wet, I come home back to you because you are my wife and I don't want to leave. But you could say, but Hussey, you could have told me this. No, I don't think I wanted to because I don't want to hurt you. And oftentimes, people don't express their feeling unless it's in wrath. You know, they got drunk or they had a quarrel and all of a sudden it blurted. I don't really like your mother anyway. I hate when I come home and the house is untidy. But you never sat down and say, hey, babe, you know, one of the things that really makes me happy is for me to come home and the house is organized because at work it is so very stressful. So I'm just coming home to this paradise. And when I come here, it is worse than at work where it's stressful because all of the children are running all about. The house is not organized. You're not put together. You're not welcoming. You're still focusing on the children when I'm home. I ain't getting no love because you're tired. And therefore, because all of this, and he may say, I'm not blaming you, but because all of this, I realize that it is hard for you to, I just went and get a little tat outside. And when I go get that meet with ex-lady, I just feel calm and wonderful. And it prepares me to come home to this hell. How would that make you feel? But that would have been the truth. However, there's still some of you who have men who you're married to who will never ever stop, no matter what you give them at home, they always find paradise in the other pot. Oh my gosh. 661-467-2407. Hey, how the heck do you get this other woman out of your husband's life? Ladies, I don't think, even if you make a storm outside in the road and really disrespect yourself, cause a crowd or whatever it is that you cause, don't think that is going to stop. It needs really, really hard look into your relationship
with your husband in the first place, deep down. You can't just do this superficially. You have to dig deep down. And oftentimes, if you go out there and you're in a relationship, unless something broke that behind of his, where he has to be lamed up somewhere, and even sometimes they're lamed up, they're still using the phone and social media to get their jollies off. And of course, with so many of them, sites of sexual sites and all of that, a lot of them, they live by it. Is that wrong if somebody wants to have a need that they have to go elsewhere? And sometimes they just wish to go elsewhere. They don't want to do certain things with the wife or in the marital home. They prefer to have this kind of a, whatever the emotion they get out of it, whatever the satisfaction they get out of it, that is what moves them. And her too. So they're going to go out there, whether or not you know it, yes or no. And some of them are very skillful at doing it, especially some women. Oh, we are skillful. We get our little jollies on too. You know, and you'll never think. I mean, religion, that don't stop it at all. Some of them, the most religious people, they're the ones who are getting their little thingy on. So, I'm not sure what is the course of action. As I said, the thing that usually breaks down, people don't learn to speak with each other. It's very, very difficult. Especially to talk to your wife about certain things. It's maybe easier to tell the girlfriend all about the wife and all about the things she's not doing. And that is another show as well, because we expose our relationship to third parties who have no business knowing that your wife don't cut her nails or have a roller in her hair when she goes to bed, or put on her house dress the whole day. That's no business. Even if you tell the woman that, and you're out there, she's still going to give you what you want. So there's no reason for you to denigrate the wife, which you took a hold to honor and respect, and the woman of your children. You know, you should honor. And this is when I talk about the honoring and respecting, not love, honoring and respecting would supersede the emotion, the irrational emotion called love. So when you honor and respect, you would seek to preserve her in every way, although you're still going to go out and get your little nookie or whatever it is. Or sometimes it's not physical. Sometimes it's just that this person is a better listener. And sometimes when people say they have another relationship they're thinking of, it's physical. Sometimes it's purely for some men, they have somebody that they can talk to. However, that is very intimate, though, that you have somebody that is a sexual, sometimes that's a sexual, really, how should I put it? Probably even more than the physical sex, because that is really, really sexy to have somebody you can cuddle up with and tell your deepest, deepest part of your soul. I mean, that is very orgasmic, I really think, just like how some woman would love to be cuddled, and that is so, so much better than a physical situation. You know what I mean? So, women, ladies, and gentlemen too, I don't think that going outside and disgracing yourself in fighting a woman is going to keep your man at home. It means you fight one. There are so many others out there to fight. And if he pull up a little bit, he's going to go back out there, because there is something that he needs the desire and need is there that is not being fulfilled at home or cannot be fulfilled by yourself alone. So you have to sit down and talk about what do you want? What do you really, really need? How can I best fit this? Can this be taken care of us talking or counseling or something of the sort? If not, then it's time to really pack it up and go find yourself a wonderful life. You always think that divorce should be so wonderful. It should be said, oh my gosh, I had a happy time or not so happy time with John. This is another adventure. Let me go find. This is a joy to go out there and search for somebody else who will make my life much better. Now that I know and understand what I need and what I don't need, I get an understanding better about myself and relationship. Now I am prepared to go and explore the world. Hey guys, it's Dr. Ev, and thank you so much for listening to me. And of course, if you're going to be making some love tonight, make some good love and take care of the one you are loving on. Until next time, take care of yourselves and be safe.